destined for greatness. We will rise to the call. We will stand and obey. We are warriors whose weapon is God's highest praise. To love the unlovable, teach the unteachable, touch the untouchable, reach the unreachable. See the unseeable, shake the unshakable, heal the unhealable, break the unbreakable. Destined for greatness, with a passionate faith, moving in his power, clothed in garments of grace and praise. Strong in the spirit, one holy nation, true to the calling of our God's great salvation, we are destined for greatness. Have you ever heard the statement that says God takes the unqualified and makes them qualified? Well, I would say that's the story of our lives. No matter where or what we were or where we have been or whatever it is that we achieved, spiritually God rescued us and gave us citizenship in the heavenlies in eternity. According to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, in the King James, it says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Many of the translations say, "Who hath rescued us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us." Other places, he's given us citizenship in the kingdom of his dear Son. And, you know, as a result, we've been enabled. We've been given specific power and characteristics that we never had before. I think you're fully aware of this if you've had some teaching and training in the knowledge of the Word. But God rescued us out of the exercised powers of darkness. He translated us. He gave us citizenship in the kingdom. He just placed us in there by his goodness and his grace. And we receive freely wonderful things from God, specific power. I really want to focus in on something. And I read this paragraph last week, but I feel like it's significant enough to read again, and it's from a book by E.W. Kenyon called A New Kind of Love. Mm-hmm. And it says, "We have come to know the love way is the best way. We have come to believe in love. We believe it is better than force, better than argument, better than money, and better than going to court. The hardest thing for some of us to learn is that the love way is the best way, that we cannot fail if we walk in love. It has been hard for us to believe in God's love for us when difficulties have come into our lives, but we now know that all of these abnormal things are not the product of love. They come from the adversary seeking to dethrone love in our hearts. For us to become God inside minded is for us to become victors. As soon as we become this God inside minded, we will begin to depend upon the God who lives inside. We will know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world," according to 1 John 4:4. Remember that one? "There will be a holy boldness in us, a Jesus-like fearlessness. No matter what happens to us, he is inside, and he will show us. We have his ability, his courage, and his strength. It takes us out of the failure realm. It puts us over into the realm of success." One translation of Romans 5:17 says, "For if through the transgression of the one individual, death made use of the one individual to seize the sovereignty, all the more shall those who receive God's overflowing grace and the gift of righteousness reign as kings in life through the one individual, Jesus Christ." We have received the gift of righteousness. We have received the abundance of grace. And now we reign as kings in the realm of life or love. God never intended that we should be servants and have a servile spirit. Love takes us out of the servant realm up into the son realm. It takes us away from the sense of inferiority and gives us the sense of our oneness with Christ. That old inferiority complex comes from sin consciousness. It has been completely destroyed, completely paralyzed. It has been made bankrupt. Love consciousness and son consciousness have now taken its place. One cannot have a servile spirit and enjoy the reality of sonship. We are masters. We are conquerors. We are overcomers because we are one with Him. We have His ability, His wisdom, His strength, His love. Spiritually, we are free. We abide in God, and God abides in us. End quote. You and I, Vicki, George, Leslie, Jackson, Dan and Rebecca, all of you who are on here, Norma, forgive me if I left you out. But you and I, Wally, Vicki, you and I, we're the only ones who are loving people, and we're the ones who are loving people, having compassion on people, empathizing with people, and identifying with their circumstances and their situations. And the adversary, the enemy, wants to rob us of any confidence that we might have to walk fearlessly with this kind of great love. Remember 1 John 4:18? I'll quote it here a little bit. It says, "Perfect love casts out fear." And this was one of the greatest things that attracted the people to Jesus Christ. He just loved people. He loved people. He didn't judge people. He didn't condemn people. He really just wanted to bless people, to help people. And countless times his compassion in situations provided the environment for great miracles that came as a result. That's the same Christ that lives in us and with us. We do have the inward capacity to love beyond our human ability. And you know what? I think that there are plenty of opportunities in daily life to reach out with the arms of Christ too, to show forward what is called the badge of Christianity. It's love. It's not knowledge. But it's what that knowledge has brought us into, which is a deeper level of intimacy and relationship with God, and therefore a greater capacity to love God, love ourselves, and love others. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to look there, Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 1, it said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Some translations say imitators. Imitate God. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." I was going to take the time to read through Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 9 tonight, but I'm afraid that that would have to be a part 2 and 3 to this teaching, because every record in there is about Jesus and the compassion that he had, the love he had, the miracles that came as a result of just his desire to bring God's goodness into the senses realm. Because Jesus was the manifestation of God's will in the senses realm. You know, and today when we walk in love, we're manifesting that very same type of love. It's not conditioned by so many different things that the world would want to put on it. And we give of ourselves in complete surrender, complete totality. You know what? This must just bless God so much. Well, look at verse 2 of Ephesians 1 there. It says, "Walk in love as Christ also loved us and have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Boy, this reminds me of Romans 12, 1, right? Where we would therefore offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. These things bring great joy and blessing to God when we willingly offer ourselves to walk in love. Walk in love towards ourselves, walk in love towards others, and walk in love in a variety of situations many times where we don't even feel like really being that loving. But you know, what a joy it is to participate in loving others. And that's exactly what happened to us. at one point in time or another in my life and in your life. Someone loved you, and they introduced you to the greatest lover of all time. And so I'm just so thankful we get a little opportunity to share some of these things together. You know, our lives are full. We know that they are complete. We have what we need to walk confidently and boldly. We love God. We love others. We love ourselves. And we are in that position to help to bring health and wholeness to a world that is just crying out for it. It's crying out for it. I'd say the love is the greatest of them all. Wouldn't you? We've been called to greatness. We have really been called to greatness. We're destined for greatness. And sometimes just by being in any environment, there we are. Circumstances, situations can change just because of our very presence there, because of who we are, who God has made us to be. Even if it's the lousiest day in our emotional and other types of ways, you know what? We're still there. God's love for us doesn't change. It hasn't changed. It won't change. It's not conditioned by our behavior, our thoughts, or any other thing. Well, thank God. We're destined for greatness. God's perspective, his vision of us is just so awesome, so great. And I'd say love is the greatest of them all, wouldn't you? So will we rise to the call? Will we stand and obey? Will we love the unlovable, teach the unteachable, touch the untouchable, reach the unreachable, see the unseeable, shake the unshakable, heal the unhealable, break the unbreakable? I would say Jesus fulfilled that mission, wouldn't you? We're destined for greatness. We have great faith. We're moving in the power of the Spirit, clothed in garments of praise. We're strong in the Spirit. We're one holy nation. We're one body of Christ, with each member in particular having unique functions and ability, but collectively we bring more to the table than we could if it was just us by ourselves. This is the beauty of part of the mystery, the one body of Christ, each an individual member having Christ within them and operating in their unique role and function and ministry. But God collectively joins all that together, so it brings, honestly, it brings great praise and glory to him. We're strong in the Spirit. We're one holy nation. We're true to the calling of our great salvation. We are destined. We're destined for greatness. And like that song said at the beginning, who will be Jesus to them? You will be. I will be. As we walk out and rise up to the calling, and if we stand and obey, and we are engaged in that relationship with God, our heart's desire is to want to help. It's just to bring God's goodness to a dying world that has kind of a false perspective of who God is. We've been blessed. We know a lot of the Word. Now's the time just to rise to the call, one moment at a time. God qualifies the unqualified, and we all are in that category. So you're destined for greatness. I'm destined for greatness. And it happens because God has loved us to a point that now we can go forward with that love that's been placed with us, within us, so miraculously at the time of the new birth. And then when Pentecost arrived, you saw the full manifestation of the Spirit in evidence. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this great, 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 great time to be together in your Word. Father, that the world is our opportunity. Mm-hmm. And that every place we go, we're representing you. And I just pray that we grow in our understanding, our maturity and development, as we deepen our relationship with you, Father, and put some of these things on in our hearts, and then just walk out boldly, Lord, because you're the one that's lighting our way and lighting our path, and that we can have confidence in that. So help us to be our best, Lord. Help us to walk in your grace and goodness tonight and tomorrow and every day until our Lord returns. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.